poverty is a fact of life. Somewhere between a third and two-thirds of the world's population simply don't have enough to eat. They're not just statistics, they're people, mothers, children, starving people. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond with a different perspective. And yes, today and this week we're chatting about wealth and poverty. I wonder, where do you fit on that scale? What are you doing for those who don't have the basics that we perhaps take for granted? I know they're tough questions, but they're questions we really need to be asking. I'm going to be talking about a very special subject this week on the program. It's a subject I know is very dear to God's heart. It's a subject that's having a devastating impact on the lives of many, many people. In fact, many of the people listening to this message today around the world. And yet for others, it's a subject they may well really not want me to talk about. That subject is poverty. In fact, poverty sounds a bit much like a concept, something that politicians deal with rather than ordinary folk like you and me. Let me make it a whole bunch more personal. What I'm doing is I'm going to talk today about poor people. People who don't have enough food to eat. People who don't have clean water to drink. People whose children are dying from disease and malnutrition. Children whose parents have died through the AIDS epidemic or through war. People who are marginalized. People who are rejected. People who are traded as slaves and herded like cattle from one camp to the next. People who've lost their dignity and worth in their own eyes and in the eyes of the world. And the reason I want to talk to you about the poor today and this week on the program is because they are so incredibly dear in God's heart. Now, it's a tricky thing for me to talk about this on this program, about the poor. Whether you realise it or not, this program is being aired not just here on your local station, but on over 1,100 stations across 160 countries. Millions of people will hear this program, and you know what? The majority of them are poor. I was talking just the other day with a program director of a radio station in Liberia who airs this program, and he was sharing with me the responses he receives from people in refugee camps. I remember a while back I received an email from a rebel fighter in the Congo, and I know there's a wealthy businessman in Chicago listening to this same program on his iPod in the gymnasium. The reason I'm talking about the poor is that we need to talk about it. But it's a tricky thing for me to do. How do you talk about the poor and poverty to both rich and poor? Because that's the reality of what I'm doing right now. For instance, this message is heard right across India, population 1.2 billion people, with a burgeoning middle class of somewhere between 300 and 400 million. And yet poverty is there on a scale that none of us can really comprehend. If I were talking only to the rich, well, that'd be easy. If I were talking only to the poor, well, that's never easy for me. I don't have a whole bunch of platitudes, but at least I would know where to target my comments. So I'm not sharing this with just the rich or just the poor. I'm sharing it with both, and I'd like you to understand that. Now, it's easy for us to over-spiritualize the gospel message. You can see that as you look back through church history, people, well-meaning people, get so focused on preaching the gospel and sharing the good news that we forget that we're not just spiritual beings, we're also physical beings with physical needs. We need air, water, food, shelter, protection, sleep, and we're emotional beings. We have emotional needs. We need love, community, nurture, connection, encouragement. One of the things I really, really love about God when you read His Word, the Bible, is He doesn't over-spiritualize things. He deals with a whole person. And the God that I read about in the Bible is a God who wants to bless every part of our lives, physical, emotional, and spiritual. He wants to make sure that we have enough food to eat. He wants to make sure that we have jobs and dignity and community around us. Just before Israel crossed over from the desert into the Promised Land, Moses says this to them. You can read it if you like. It's in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28. The Lord will command blessing upon you in your barns. You expect the Lord to bless you in your barns. See, this is where God wants to bless them, in their barns. And all that you undertake, He will bless you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. In other words, God wants to bless them with enough food to eat. So how come then there are so many people starving in this world? If I want to ask you, how many people in the world today are malnourished? What would your estimate be? How many just don't have enough food to eat? 100 million? 200 million? 500 million? How many? Well, the World Health Organization estimates that one-third of all the people in the world are well-fed, one-third are underfed, and one-third are starving. So with a world population of just over 7 billion people, that means that somewhere over 4.5 billion people are either underfed or starving. Ah, that's too big a number to deal with. Lies, damned lies, statistics. If you're wealthy, maybe you want to run away from that. Maybe you think, well, it is too big. There's nothing I can do about it. What I'll do is I'll retreat into the comfortable cocoon of wealth that I've built for myself. I'll just ignore it. I'll change the channel on television when the images of starving children flash up in the evening news. And even if you're poor, the 4.5 billion doesn't matter that much. What matters is your family, your children, the hunger in your stomach. What do you do with numbers like that? What do you do with them? So many people experience a sense of powerlessness. Ah, it's God's problem. It's not my problem. Anyhow, how can he allow this to go on? I know what I'll do. What I'll do is I'll go down to the coffee shop and plan to purchase my latest iPhone or maybe a holiday in the Caribbean or maybe a new pair of shoes. And that way, I could ignore the poor. And that, I have to tell you, is what many rich people do because they can't see how to make a difference. They deal with it by not dealing with it. If you're in that category, let me share these two things with you. Firstly, in the time that we've spent together so far today, 174 children will have died of malnutrition. And before you run away from these lies, damned lies and statistics, let me share this with you from God's Word. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 13. If you close your ear to the cry of the poor, you will cry out and you will not be heard. Let me say it again. If you close your ear to the cry of the poor, you will cry out and you will not be heard. On the other hand, if you're listening to this with a hungry stomach, with a sick child, without a roof over your head, without any hope for your future, then I want to share this scripture with you. These are the words that Jesus spoke when he began his public ministry. You can read them in Luke chapter 4. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." See, God is a God who wants to bless the poor. He wants to feed the poor. He wants to hold the poor close to him. And the way that he always, always sought to do that is through his people, through those who call themselves by his name, Christians. And his call to each one of us today is to step up to the plate, to get involved, and to do all that we can possibly do. Micah chapter 6, verse 8 in the Old Testament says this, "He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God." However bad off we think we are, there is always someone who's worse off. And just think, that could be us. Each of us who has the responsibility to care for those who haven't. It's that simple. Powerful stuff. Let me ask you again, what are you doing to give to those who are in need, to save one child, one family, help one community? I want to encourage you to have a good chunk of your giving portfolio, whatever that looks like, dedicated to the poor and to the needy. Please don't ignore them. There is always someone worse off than ourselves. And with all my heart, I know that the Lord our God wants us to be part of making a difference. Of course, we can't change the economic systems that financially disadvantage the world's poor, but we can change our attitude. We can soften our hearts. We can open our wallets and our purses. That the problem is too big for us simply is not an excuse. God is looking for us to do what we can and to save those we can. God bless you. I hope you can join me again tomorrow when we take a deeper look at God's heart for the poor and the needy. I'm Bernie Diamond, and you've been listening to A Different Perspective.